إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. I'm going to recite two lines from a book. And then I want you to tell me, is this a book that the Muslim should be reading or not? وَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عِلْمِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. This is a phrase of the Prophet ﷺ, says, of your generosity, what you give is the dunya and its sister, meaning the life to come. All that is in the life to come. And of your knowledge is knowledge of everything that the pen has written and what is in Lawh al-Mahfuz. This person likens the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah. I'm going to ask you, should you read that book? That book is called Al-Burda. That's only some of the things that's in that book. I just said that because the book is very popular among some of the Ahl Sunnah, and they read it. And it's something that really, any type of book that calls to that type of cook is something that should not be read. Barakallahu fiik. We want to continue with our discussion on innovations. It's a real lengthy discussion. Perhaps, inshallah, Allah would allow us to present it in a way that is, will have some information behind it, inshallah. One of the principles that we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء شَرْعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, do they have partners who make laws for them of the deen what Allah has not given permission for? This particular verse, Shaykh As-Sa'di, he said, that which Allah has not given permission for, of shirk and bid'ah. Of shirk and bid'ah. وَتَحْرِيم مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ. And making haram what Allah has made permissible. وَتَحْلِيل مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. And making halal what Allah has made haram. And similar to that. مِمَّا اقْتَضَتْهُ أَهْوَاؤُهُمْ. That which is according to their desire. مَعَنَّ الدِّينَ لَا يَكُونَ إِلَّا مَا شَرَّعَهُ اللَّهُ. In spite of the fact that the deen is only what Allah has legislated. لِيَدِينَ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ. So that the people, the slaves, may worship Allah according to it. وَيَتَقَرَّبُوا بِهِ إِلَيْهِ. And use it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَالْأَصْلُ. So the principle, الْحَجُرُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحَدٍ أَنْ يَشْرَعَ شَيْئًا مَا جَاءَنِ اللَّهِ مَا جَاءَنِ اللَّهِ وَعَنَ رَسُولِهِ. So this particular verse prevents anybody from bringing into the deen, legislating into the deen, anything that is not from Allah or from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse has a criticism then, that if you start to introduce anything into Allah's deen, it's as if you're putting yourself on the level with Allah. You're putting yourself on the same level with Allah, or you're likening yourself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have, the Shaykh, he mentioned in some of his Mandhuma, he says, الْأَصْلُ فِي عَادَاتِنَا الْإِبَاحَ حَتَّى يَجِيهَ صَارِفُ الْإِبَاحَ وَكُلُّ فِعْلِ طَوْعَةٍ مَحَذُورُ سِوَى الَّذِي فِي شَرْعِنَا مَذْكُورُ. The Shaykh says, الْأَصْلُ فِي عَادَاتِنَا الْإِبَاحَ, the principle in terms to the things that we do around, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat and all of that, is that it's permissible. It's permissible. If someone comes and tells you, look, you can't eat crabs, he has to bring some delir. Allah says, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Allah has created for you everything in the earth to benefit from. So if someone is saying something is haram to eat, he has to bring some specific evidence that it's haram. Ibn Abbas used to look at the verse in Surah Al-An'am, كُلَّ أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, I have not found anything that has been to revealed to me about food that you eat that it is haram illa an yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan aw lahma khinzirin fa innahu rijs aw fisqan uhilla li ghayri llahi. I only find these things that it's something dead, blood that is poured forth, or the flesh of the swine, or something that has been sacrificed to other than Allah. This means that everything else is halal. So people used to ask Ibn Abbas, did you eat a tiger? He says, yes. Did you eat a monkey? Yes. Did you eat a leopard? Yes. Did you eat a buzzard? Yes. Did you eat a snake? Yes. A rat? Yes. Until the companions, some of the companions told him, whoa, whoa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram, harrama kulla dhi nabi min as-sibaa wa kulla dhi mikhlab min al-tayr. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram all of those carnivorous animals, those that attack and kill using their teeth, all of them he made haram, and those birds of prey that use their claws to catch things and to eat it, all of those haram. Once Ibn Abbas heard that, he said, all right, these are haram. But he built his understanding on the text. Until you have something to say, haram is halal. That's in respect to food and drink and all that good stuff. In respect to ibadat and aqidah, the opposite is the case. You do not worship Allah anyway unless there is a specific text. This is why the Shaykh mentions, وَكُلُّ فِعْلِ طَاعَةٍ مَحَذُورٌ سِوَى الَّذِي فِي شَرْعِنَا مَذْكُورٌ. Every act of obedience, of worship, is haram except if it is mentioned in our shar, in our legislation. So, if someone wants to come here, and he wants to pray in a direction, he has to find out, let me see what's in the sunnah say that you have to pray, which direction. If he wants to know how to make wudu, he just can't figure out, well, you know, maybe you should wash your eye out first. Can't do that. He has to look, what does Allah say in the Quran? What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in the sunnah? He wants to fast. He don't just go and start figuring it out. Flipping a coin, maybe it's this day or the next day, he has to go look into the Quran and the Sunnah. Not only that, but whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left aside, then the Sunnah is to leave it alone. And that is probably extremely important. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left alone, we leave alone. We have, give you an example of this. Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يستحي إذا رفع الرجل إليه يديه أن يردهما صفرا خائبتين. This is collected by Tirmidhi ibn Majah and another. This narration from Salman al-Farisi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hayyun kareem. And he feels reserved about a person raising his hands to him. This is in dua. That he shall leave them or return them empty and in a state of loss. This means then that it's alright to raise your hand in dua, right? Was it a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he got on the minbar on Yawm al-Jum'ah to raise his hand in dua? Was it a habit? Suppose a person says, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Salman al-Farisi said that Allah, if you raise your hand, He will not turn it away. That means, man, you should be raising your hand. If a person did that, and he did not pay attention to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did on the minbar, he'll be going astray. Because what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is the sunnah, and what he left alone is the sunnah. We have the sunnah fi'liyyah and the sunnah tarkiyyah. For this reason, we have a narration which is collected by Muslim. This narration is from Umar ibn Ru'ayba. He said, أنه رأى بشر ابن مروان على المنبر رافعا يديه. He saw Bishr ibn Marwan on the minbar kneel, raising his hands. Allahumma, Allahumma, Allahumma. Ya Allah. أنت حي القيوم يا منان يا جلال والإكرام. And he's supplicating. Now this Sahabi who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قبح الله هاتين اليدين. May Allah disgrace these two hands of yours. Now this brother is supplicating, he's doing something good. On the minbar supplicating for the Muslims, he's raising his hand. But this companion, he said, قبح الله, may Allah disgrace these two hands. Then he told him why he said it. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا يَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَقُولُ بِيَدِهِ هَكَذَا وَأَشَارَ بِإِصْبَعِهِ الْمُصَبِّحَةِ. He said, I saw Allah's messenger on the minbar, and he would not do anything but raise his index finger. He was telling him, look man, if you're on the sunnah, you don't take a general statement from over there and put it into practice. You look at the specific practice of Allah's messenger and you'll be on the sunnah. If you want to be right, don't just get some general hadith that speaks about something being good and then you want to add to the sunnah. A part of the diras of the sunnah is you look at the specific way things were implemented. Yet we find people, I mean all the time, looking at something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam might have done in istisqa, for example. That is the prayer for rain. On one Jummah he came, some brother came in the masjid, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. It's in both Bukhari and Muslim. Ya Rasulullah, هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فادع الله يغثنا. سبحان الله. This person had certainly said, look, Ya Rasulullah. He says that the pathways have stopped. هلكت الأموال, the wealth has been destroyed. وانقطعت السبل, the pathways for tijar and all of those things is cut off. No rain, no trade, no rain come down, nothing don't grow. He says, فَدْعُ اللَّهَ يُغِثْنَا. If you supplicate to Allah, He shall send rain down. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he raised his hands, رَفْعَ يَدَيْهِ فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَغِثْنَا, اللَّهُمَّ أَغِثْنَا, اللَّهُمَّ أَغِثْنَا. Oh Allah, send rain. Oh Allah, send rain. Oh Allah, send rain down. Anas ibn Malik says, لَا وَاللَّهِ. He said, I swear by Allah, there was nothing in the sky. من سحابة ولا قزعة, not a cloud, not even a piece of a cloud. There was nothing between us and the mountain to prevent us from seeing a cloud. He said, and all of a sudden, طَلَعَ sahaba, a cloud came from behind the mountain after the Prophet suffocated, came over the mountain. And once it got in the middle of the sky in Tashurat, he said, God damn, it started to spread. وَأَمْطُرَتْ, and then rain came. He says, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْنَا شَمْسَبْتَنْ يَعْنِي قَطْعَنْ. Says, wallahi, we didn't even see the sun. Not on Saturday, not on Sunday, not on Monday, not on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, not on Thursday, and on Friday someone else came in the masjid. Ya Rasulullah. Halakat al-amwal. In qat'at al-subul. The wealth has been destroyed, the pathways are closed, there's too much rain. فَضْعُ يُمْسِكْهَا عَنَّا. Supplicate to Allah, Allah will cause it to stop. And the Prophet ﷺ raises her and Allahumma la alayna, Allahumma hawa alayna wa la alayna. Oh Allah, send it around us and not on us. Allahumma afi manabit al-shajr ala al-akami wa dhirabi wa manabit al-shajr fil awdi'a. Send it to the places where others people can benefit. To the bottom of the mountains, to the bottom of the hills, to the places of the trees and in the valley. Anas ibn Malik says, فَخَرَجْنَا نَمْشِي فِي الشَّمْسِ. Say, we left the masjid walking in sunshine. Sunshine. And Nawawi رحمه الله تعالى, when he deals with this particular text, he says, what the Prophet ﷺ did on a special occasion, you do it on a special occasion. You don't take what he did on a special occasion and make it something you do every time. That is not according to the Sunnah. The Sunnah is that you follow the Sunnah the way the Prophet ﷺ taught it and the way he practiced it. That's the way we follow the Sunnah. So some person may say, look, man, the Prophet ﷺ said, raising the hands is good if you supplicate. Now you can raise your hands, man. You get up at night and you feel like you want to supplicate, ain't nothing wrong with you raising your hand. Nothing wrong with it. You know, every now and then you get a little urge, you know, you want to supplicate, and you want to, you know, oh Lord, help me. Nothing wrong with raising your hand. But now you make a habit. After every salat, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Allah. Every prayer, every compulsory prayer, Allah. They have another thing they do. They have a thing, they have a practice they do. And it's found actually in some weak narrations. Right? I used to do it. That before I knew any better. You say, yeah, Noor, right? You say, yeah, Noor, 100 times. You blow on your hands or you put your hands over your eyes like this. You say, yeah, Noor, your eyesight will be good. But you know it ain't helped me none, bro. For you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually praised raising the hands, but was it a habit of him and his companions after every prayer to raise the hand? No. It was not a practice like that. So for the Muslims now to come, take a general statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they want to say, well, it was said over there, let's do it over here. And we're going to do it after every prayer, after every compulsory prayer, we're going to do this. There's nothing wrong with it. They're not looking at the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam conducted himself and the way his companions conducted themselves. And if we take and we do not keep into consideration the practice, the implementation of the sunnah by the companions, then we're bound to go astray. There's a fatwa by one of the senior scholars, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah bin Baz, rahimahullah. Someone asked him a question. I'm going to read the fatwa to you. He says, سُئِلَ الْعَلَّامَ الشَّيْخ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ بِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ بَاسِ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ رَفْعِ الْأَيْدِي عَنْ رَفْعِ الْأَيْدِي فِي الدُّعَى بَعْضَ صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. They asked him about raising the hands in supplication after the compulsory prayer. فَأَجَابَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَصِحْ عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يرفع يديه بعض صلاة الفريضة. Says it is not authentic from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he used to raise his hands after the compulsory prayer. Says here, ولم يصح ذلك أيضا عن أصحابه رضي الله عنهم فيما نعلم. And it is not an established practice from his companions as far as we know. He says, وَمَا يَفْعَلْهُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ مِنْ رَفْعِ أَيْدِيهِمْ بَعْضُ الصَّلَاةِ الْفَرِيضَةِ بِدْعَةٌ لَا أَصْلَ لَهَا. And what some people do in raising their hands after all of these compulsory prayer is an innovation. It has no basis. Has no basis. He says, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, because of the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does a deed which is not according to this affair of Allah, he shall have it rejected. He shall have it rejected. Says here, this is a narration, وَأَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمْ فِي صَحِيحِ, collected by Muslim in the Sahih. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَرَدْ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم also said, whoever introduces an act into this affair of ours, that which is not of it, it shall be rejected. Now, one of the things the Shaykh looked at is not just a general statement, it's all right, if you raise your hands, Allah will not return it empty. What he looked at was this a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the compulsory prayer, did he do this? Did his companions do it? If they didn't do it, Allah's Messenger didn't do it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His companions didn't do it, or رضي الله عنه. And we gonna do it? And look at it being done and just keep quiet. That's not the sunnah. There is another example. Actually, this particular example, I enjoy this particular example because it has in it the methodology of the salaf. Now, we know there's a narration Muslim. I'm going to read the narration. This is a shorter version of another narration that we are familiar with. عن أبي هريرة وأبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنهما أنهما شهدا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أبي هريرة and أبو سعيد الخدري. Both of them bore witness that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله عز وجل إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة. لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله عز وجل إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله فيمن عنده. رواه مسلم. This narration says, a people never sit remembering Allah. Now, when people think about remembrance of Allah, right? You think about what? If you think about sitting in a circle saying, Allahu, 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 that's not what's intended. That's not what's intended. Or if you think people are sitting down together and saying, La ilaha illallah, 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 that's not what's intended either. Or if you think people are sitting down together like that, that's not what's intended. And we'll tell you why. It says here, whenever they sit remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, the angels surround them. Mercy envelops them. And Sakina, tranquility descends upon them. And Allah makes mention of them in the companion that is around, the angel. It's collected by Muslims. Now, here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praises the remembrance of Allah. But we have to consider now the Prophet's masjid in Medina. We have to consider the Prophet's masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. Was it a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions in Medina to sit in circles like this?
No.
And them in unison saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, or any some other type of dhikr after the salah? Did they do that? Did they spread a white cloth on the masjid that you could sit on after that and do that? Alright. Okay, let me just read something to you, Barakallahu Fik. This narration is from the Hafiz Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Darimi in his book Sunan al-Darimi. He says, أخبرنا حكم ابن المبارك. This is حكم ابن المبارك Abu Salih al-Thiqa, يعني a person whose hadith is sound. He says, حدثنا عمر ابن يحيى. That is عمر ابن يحيى ابن عمر ابن سلمة الهمداني. Thiqa. He's a trustworthy person whose hadith is sound. He says, يا سمعت أبي يحدث عن أبيه. I heard my father narrating from his father. That is يحيى ابن عمر from عمر ابن سلمة. He said, "Kunna najlis." We used to sit at the door of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We used to sit at the door of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a scholar amongst the companions, right? Let me tell you how special he was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm pleased for my ummah to have what Ibn Mas'ud is pleased for them to have. Right? Ibn Ummi Abd. One day the companions saw Ibn Mas'ud right in the tree. And the wind was blowing his izar up and they saw his legs and it was thin. They started giggling at him. You know, we got those thick legs, those, you know, legs, real small, skinny legs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what y'all laughing at? Ya Rasulullah, diqqati saqihi. Says how skinny his legs are. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I swear by Allah, these two legs are heavier in the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah than the mountain of Uhud. These 2 feet of Ibn Mas'ud, this brother here, on Yawm al-Qiyamah shall be heavier in the scales than that mountain you see over there. It tells you something of how close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person here, they used to sit at his door. Sit at the door of the shaykh. Before the Fajr prayer, قبل صلاة الغداء. فإذا خرج مشينا معه إلى المسجد. When he came out, we walk along with him to the masjid. فجاءنا أبو موسى الأشعري فقال Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, also a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he said, أَخَرَجَ إِلَيْكُمْ أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بَعْضِ Abu Abd al-Rahman, this is the kunya of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Did Abu Abd al-Rahman come out yet? And this shows one of the sunnah also that the companion used to use the kunya, the nicknames beginning with Abu very often. Abu Musa, Abu Abd al-Rahman. Like that, Abu Bakr, Abu Huraira. Very common. This is sunnah that we should keep alive. Right? Like Abu Amir, Barakallahu Fi. He says, so they sat down, he says, Kunna la fajalasa ma'ana hatta kharaja. So he sat down with us until he came out. And when he came out, we all stood up to go with him to the masjid. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو مُوسَى Abu Musa said to him, يَا عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ I saw in the masjid Anifan a few minutes ago something I thought strange. He said, وَلَمْ أَرَى وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا But on the surface, I didn't see anything but good. He said, Abu Ibn Mas'ud says, فَمَا هُوَ What was it? He says, إِنْ عِشْتَ فَسَتُرَاهُ If you live, you shall see. And if you live from home, Allah gives you life. From home to the masjid. Which wasn't far. Then you see. In other words, this consciousness of thinking that you will live for a long time wasn't with the companions. If you live from now and then, inshallah, you will see. It says, I saw people in the masjid sitting down in groups. Sitting down in groups, قَوْمًا حِلَقًا جُلُوسًا يَنْتَذِرُونَ الصَّلَاةِ They're waiting for salah. And in every group, there was a man, and then they had in their hands little pebbles. And the person would say, كَبِّرُ مِيَا And he say, Allahu Akbar 100 times. And they'll say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you kept it on a miyah. And he would say, Hallilu miyah. Say, La ilaha illallah 100 times. La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha all together. Say, Hallilu miyah. Sabbihu miyah. Say, Subhanallah 100 times. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, everybody Subhanallah together. Says, Ibn Mas'ud says, ماذا قلت لهم? What did you say to them? Abu Musa said, ما قلت لهم شيئا انتظار رأيك أو انتظار أمر. I didn't say anything to them. I was waiting for your command or your opinion. Why? Because Ibn Mas'ud had more knowledge than he had. And so, من سوء الأدب and of bad character and manners of the طالب العلم is to open his mouth when you have a sheikh present. Man, the sheikh is over there, man, go ask him. And this is an indication that our affairs are to be referred to the scholars of this ummah and of this manhaj. He says, no man, I was waiting on you. What you were going to say and what you were going to command. He said, Ibn Mas'ud says, أَفَلَا أَمَرْتَهُمْ أَنْ يَعُدُّ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمَ اللَّهِ يَضِيعَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتٍ شَيْءٍ Why didn't you tell them to count their evil deeds? Now here these people sit now, they remembering Allah. Ibn Mas'ud is telling Abu Musa, you should tell them count your evil deeds, and then show them, give them a surety that what they do over there of good would not go in vain. He said, then he walked, and he walked along with him. Until he came across one of these groups, he said, مَا هَذَا الَّذِي أَرَاكُمْ تَصْنَعُونَ What is this I see you people doing? This is Ibn Mas'ud now. A companion with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca. A companion with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he made Hijrah. And after that in Medina. One of the scholars of the Sunnah from amongst the Sahaba, he stops and says, what are you doing? Now, did he just pass by and keep his mouth closed? When he saw the bid'ah in the masjid, did he just shut up? Was that the manhaj of the Salaf? That you just see it going on and shoot? Man, they ain't gonna ruffle nobody's feathers. Everybody's cool. They didn't do that. He stopped. What is this that I see y'all doing? And they said, Ya Abdurrahman, you try to make light of it. Aswan, just pebbles. You know, just a little bit of pebbles. We're using to count the tadbir and the tahliyah and the tasbih. All it is, man, is just some little pebbles. Why are you so concerned about it? All it is these little small things. Ibn Mas'ud, he said to them, فَعُدُّ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. He says, therefore count your evil deeds. وَأَنَا ضَامِنٌ أَنْ لَا يَضِيعَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِكُمْ شَيْءٍ. And I will be assured that your good will not go in vain. Then he says, وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةُ مُحَمَّدٍ. He says, woe to you, O nation of Muhammad, O people of Muhammad. مَا أَسْرَ حَلَكَتَكُمْ. How quickly you destroy yourselves. How quickly you destroy yourselves. Look at the manhaj issues here. He says, هَؤُلَاءِ صَحَابَةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here are the companions of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, if you didn't know that this was correct, you should have checked with them first, and they would have told you what it was on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should have stopped, check first, check in, use the text, because this is an act of worship, and you don't do it unless you have some evidence. He's teaching him some manhaj issues here. And who are you referring to? Go to those people who learn from the master teacher, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are the companions. He says, هُمُ تَوَافِرُونَ. There are abundance of them. وَهَذِي ثِيَابُ لَمْ تَبْلَى وَآنِيَةُ لَمْ تُبْسِمْ. He says the Prophet's garment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is still intact. His vessels are not yet broken. You people are doing this? He says to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي. He says, I swear by him in whose hand is my soul. إِنَّكُمْ لَعَلَى مِلَّةٍ هِيَ أَهْدَى مِنْ مِلَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَمُفْتَتِحُ بَابِ ضَلَالٍ. He says, you're on a religion that has more guidance than the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not possible. Because what you're doing is not a part of the Prophet's religion. You're either better guided than he is, and if that's not the case, you're opening a door to misguidance. You're opening a door to misguidance. It says here, قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ يَا عَبَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ مَا أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْخَيْرِ. Says, O Abu Abdul Rahman, our intentions were good. All we wanted to do was good. I mean, intentions are good. Be sincere. Ibn Mas'ud says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. He says, how many people who have good intentions to do good will never reach it? Why? Because they're not on the Sunnah. Because it's not enough to have sincerity, you must have mutaba. وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you obey him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you shall be guided. So there is no achieving success unless there is mutaba, unless there is following. So he says to them, سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حدثنا الله's messenger narrated to us إن قوما يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز تراقيهم. The people will read the Quran, it will not go past their collarbones. The أهل العلم saying they will read it with no understanding. How could they have understanding when they're not following the manhaj of the Salaf? They're not going to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم And if they don't understand it, they're not going to the Sahaba, how could they be guided? Says they will read the Quran and will not go past it. All it will be is words. From here to here. Words wouldn't reach their hearts. No fiqh would be. Says here, he says, وَيْمُوا مَا أَدْرِي لَعَلَّ أَكْثَرُ مِنْكُمْ. He says, by Allah, I don't know, but I think most of you are from amongst them. He saw this little small thing, people taking some pebbles and doing this in a little circle, them not referring to the manhaj that Allah had revealed, that this was going to make you, it seems that you must be of them, because the companions are set aside from you. You're the only people like this who's not following the manhaj. This is an indication, man, that you must be amongst them. And then he turned away and he left them alone. Amr ibn Salama said, "Ra'ayna amat til ulaik al hilq yutaa'oonana ma al khawarij yawm nahruwan." Amr, he said, "I saw most of those people in that city fighting against us with the Khawarij on the day of Nahruwan when the companions fought against us." These little small things of innovations led to bigger things. And this is why the sunnah is that you close the door. Saddu dhariya, you close the door. You don't even allow it to open. So you never consider any small thing as well as small. You know, I like what Ibn Atas says. He says, خَلِّي أَذْنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ تُقَى وَاسْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْكَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْتَرُ مَا يُرَى لَا تَحْتِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ جِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى." He said, leave off sins, the big and the small of them. This is taqwa. Conduct yourself like a person walking on a road with thorns on it, being careful where you stand. Is this according to the sunnah or not? Don't consider any sin as small because mountains are made out of pebbles. They add up. These are small things that you consider to be sin, man, and this is small, and this is small. Pretty soon your whole masjid look like nothing but a bit of hall. I think we stepped over, and we're going to give the brother a few seconds, inshallah, to translate. But inshallah, hopefully that would suffice us until our next sitting. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, shadu'un la'ilah, and to stay critical.